people who know me well know that my favorite show on television is NCIS. Now, it's okay if you disagree with that. You know, it's not one of the essentials of the faith to be a fan of NCIS. Maybe it should be, but it's not. And I realize the show may not be a realistic portrayal of how the NCIS really operates, but I've really enjoyed the exploits of Gibbs, Donoso, McGee, Ziva, Torres, Bishop, Ducky, Palmer, Abby, Director Shepard, and Vance, along with FBI Special Agent Fornell and many others over the years. And you know, often when the show builds on some unresolved matter or matters from a previous episode, the current episode will begin with the words, "Previously on NCIS." Well, so too with our exploration of the opening verses of the Gospel of John. Previously, 2 weeks ago, we saw in verses 1-5 that there was never a time when Jesus was not. From eternity past, from before the creation of the world, from before the beginning of time, He always was. He, the Word, the Logos, the full expression of God's personality, was there in the beginning. Just as there was a time, never, just as there was never a time when He was not, there was never a time when He was not God. It's not just that He was, but that Jesus was and is God. Always was, is now, always will be. He who was fully God became in the incarnation fully man. Not either or, not either God or man, but both and. Fully God and fully man united in one person forever. And we also saw that Jesus is the source and giver of life and light, without whom we are never more than an inch from disaster, but with whom our hearts are secure forever. And last week we looked at verses 6-9, where John the Apostle introduces us to John the Baptist, a man sent from God to be a witness to the Word. John came, we saw, not to point to himself, but to point people to Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone who trusts in Him. In examining the life and witness of John, we emphasize three lessons we can learn from his life. Number one, the importance of knowing who you are and who you are not. Number two, the importance of knowing your God-given purpose. And number three, the grace of humility. Because as John understood, it's not about you or me. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Well, today we continue with verses 10-13. So let's give our full and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy word. You can follow along on your screen or in the bulletin where we find these words. He, that is Jesus, the Word, the Logos, was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. May God bless to our hearts and minds this reading from His holy word. the late James Montgomery Boyce, pastor, theologian, author, radio Bible teacher, preached four sermons on this passage we just read. One sermon for each verse. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to condense the message of these verses into just one sermon today. So here we go. You may have heard that less than 2 weeks ago, a 15-month-old baby boy named Carmelo Duncan was shot and killed in Washington, D.C., while in a car seat with his father and 8-year-old brother. It's a horrible tragedy whenever the life of an innocent person is snuffed out, even more so when the victim is just a baby. This is not the way it should be. Things like this should never happen, but they do. The shooting death of Carmelo is just a single instance among thousands or more in a world where so many things are not the way they should be. Think about this. It was not the way it should have been when Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the incarnate living Word, came to earth. They should not have treated Him the way they did. They should have welcomed Him with open arms. He should have been greeted with great rejoicing, the kind of rejoicing that the angels and the shepherds expressed. He should have been received with adoration and praise. He should have been honored and hailed in a manner befitting the King He was and is. But that's not the way it was when Jesus came into the world. As the prophet Isaiah forecast, He was despised and rejected by men. Rejected by those He came to save. Rejected by His own people. They failed to recognize Him. They refused to receive Him when He came. It's not the way it should have been. But it is the way it was. Here's how the message expresses it in verses 10 and 11. It says, He, Jesus, the Word, was in the world. The world was there through Him. In other words, He made it all, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to His own people, but they didn't want Him. They didn't want Him. And still today, sad to say, there are lots and lots of people, millions and millions, who don't want Jesus. They want nothing to do with Him. Some people even think that the biggest problem with the world is Jesus, and people like you and me who believe in Him and want to live under His loving lordship. That's just a fact of life in the world in the 21st century. But, says John, not everyone rejected Him when He came. The Gospels bear witness that there were some who did welcome Him with open arms and open hearts. There were some who received Him gladly. And to them, the Bible says, Jesus gave the right, the incomparable, incredible privilege of becoming children of God. Now, contrary to what a lot of people believe or want to believe, not everyone is a child of God. Do you know that? God is the creator of every person and everything. But He is not everyone's father. Not everyone can legitimately claim God as their father. You're not a member of God's family by birth. You're a member of the human family by birth. By birth, you're a member of a particular family. I was born into the family of Roger and Arlene Smith and all of their ancestors. I'm a member of the Smith family by birth. But I am not, and you are not, a member of God's family by birth. None of us has been born physically into the family of God. So how does one become a child of God and a member of God's family? As John says in verse 13, it is not by human descent or blood relationships. Having an elder or a pastor or maybe a missionary in your family doesn't qualify you for membership in God's family. Whatever the circumstances of your conception or birth, it does not, cannot, and will not make you a child of God. You become a child of God and a member of God's family only by adoption, spiritual adoption. Now, adoption into God's family is not something you can earn. It's not a right you can claim. No one has a right to be adopted into God's family. Adoption into God's family is the gift of God's free, sovereign, gracious choice. It's a gift of grace that comes free of charge to people who don't deserve it and never will. People like us, people like you and me. It's a gift to be received by faith alone, by believing in the name of Jesus. Now, throughout history, many have rejected this gift, and there are many who reject it today. Many reject the Word who became flesh. They turn their backs on Jesus. They refuse to receive Him. Later on in John chapter 3, John speaks of the saving love of Jesus and of the unwillingness of so many to accept it and to accept Jesus. This is what John says starting in verse 16, which I'm sure will sound familiar to you. For God so loved the world and you and me, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. It has come in and through the person of Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, the Scripture says, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Sadly, this is the way it is and has been since the first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. But, as I said a few moments ago, not everyone rejected Jesus. Not everyone rejects Him today. Some do receive Him with open hearts, with grateful, trusting hearts and open arms. Some do take hold of Him and the salvation He so graciously offers. And to all who receive Him by faith, even today, even right now, He gives the amazing status of a new relationship with God. The wonder of it all continued to amaze the Apostle John for as long as he lived. In 1 John 3, verse 1, he declared, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. We should be called children of God. That's what we are. children of God. Not by human ancestry, not by our by virtue of our ethnic background, not because of the family you were born into, not as a result of the circumstances of your birth, but by adoption, spiritual adoption, by the new birth, by spiritual rebirth through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. John, I think, goes so far as to suggest that there are really only two kinds of people in the world. Those who receive the Lord Jesus and His claims through faith in Him, and those who don't or won't. Only two groups. In which group are you? It's crucial to understand that it is not enough simply to believe certain truths about Jesus in your head. Knowing the right answers, believing the right doctrines in your head are not enough. As James points out, even demons believe in God intellectually. Even the devil's legions know the truth. But what good does it do them? Did you know that some people miss heaven by about 18 inches? Just 18 inches. Which, by the way, is what the Bible calls a cubit, which is the distance from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger, or the average for an adult person. 18 inches is roughly the distance between your head and your heart. Knowing the truth about Jesus intellectually and believing it in your head will never make you a child of God if you never actually receive the Word, Jesus, by faith and embrace Him as Savior in your heart. To be adopted into God's family, to belong to Jesus, involves both believing in Him intellectually and receiving Him as Savior and Lord in your heart. Think of it this way. Suppose under your Christmas tree at home, there is a really expensive gift. The tag says it's for you. You know what's in the box. You know it's really expensive. You know it represents the extravagant, over-the-top love of the gift giver. And it's for you. You know all these things. But until you open it, until you receive it and unwrap it, of what use is it to you? It's not really yours in the fullest sense. It's of no real benefit to you. For many people, and perhaps for some of you listening to this message, the gift of salvation in Christ is like an unopened gift under your tree. It is for everyone who will receive it, accept it, and open it by faith. But if you refuse to receive it, it'll never be yours. If you refuse to receive Him, you will never be His. And that would be a tragedy. Evgeny Onegin. You'll have to pardon my Russian because I don't know Russian at all. But Evgeny Onegin is the title character in a novel by a 19th century Russian writer named Alexander Pushkin. In the novel, Onegin, a jaded aristocrat, meets an innocent girl named Tatiana. After they meet, Tatiana writes Onegin a letter offering him her love. But Onegin ignores it. He does not reply. And when they meet again, he turns her down. Her letter was touching, he says, but he would soon grow bored of marriage to her. Years pass. And on one occasion, Onegin attends a party in St. Petersburg where he sees a stunningly beautiful woman. It's Tatiana. But she's now married. Onegin falls in love with her and tries desperately to win her back. But she refuses him. Once the door was open, she had offered him her love. But now the door is shut. In a spiritual sense, the world is full of people like Onegin. Instead of Tatiana, it's the love of Jesus that so many reject. Like Tatiana's letter to Onegin, Jesus' offer to us is touching. But we may believe that we'll be happier if we don't make a commitment to Him. We may worry that if we say yes to Jesus, He will cramp our style. He'll take away our freedom. And so maybe we leave Him behind and move on with life. But one day, the Bible says, we will see Jesus in all of His glory, in all of His magnificence, in all of His beauty. His majesty will be plainly and painfully visible to our eyes. We will know in a moment, as Rebecca McLaughlin says, that all of our greatest treasures in life are nothing compared with Him. And we will bitterly regret our decision to go our own way. But Jesus' rejection of us on that day will be no more unfair than Tatiana's rejection of Onegin. If we receive Jesus now, we will live with Him forever in a fullness of life we cannot even begin to imagine. But if we reject Him, He will one day reject us, and we will be cut off from Him forever. Here's another story. Ted and Janet. They've been dating for 7 years. They always seem to be at different places in their lives. Every Valentine's Day, Ted would propose to Janet. And every Valentine's Day, Janet would say, no, not yet. Finally, Ted ran out of patience. Imagine that. He bought a ring and took Janet to a romantic restaurant, determined to propose one last time. Another no would mean he had to get on with his life without her. After dinner, Ted knew the time had come. But Janet had brought a gift for him. And so he held back. He said, What did you bring? She handed him a box the size of a book. He opened it and slowly peeled away the tissue paper, and then he saw it. It was a cross stitch Janet had made that simply said, yes. Yes. What a beautiful word that is. The question today is, have you said yes to the Lord Jesus? Have you been adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus? I'm not just asking if you believe that he is who he says he is and that he did what the Bible says he did. I'm asking if you have opened your heart to receive him and the gift of salvation in a personal way. If your answer is yes, you have been born of God, born again, spiritually reborn, as Jesus would say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. May it be so in each and every one of us. As Corrie Ten Boom once said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but not in me, I would still be lost. Dear friends, believe in Jesus, the Word of God who came to us. Receive Jesus, the Word, apart from whom you are destined for darkness and separation from God. If you've never done it, or are not sure if you've ever taken the step to receive Jesus by faith, I invite you to do so today. I encourage you to do so today. I urge you to do so today. Lord, let it be so, to the glory of your name. Amen.